there lets us know, as Brother Jeff Coe was preaching this morning,
what we have is not dependent on a person or people. Whether our leadership remains or it doesn't remain anymore, God's truth is still with us. We have God's word, and that's what we follow, not a person. So that's important. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, Brother Joe.
Dear Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we could come together here once again, Lord, to hear the preaching and teaching of your holy word, O Lord God. For we stand upon that word, Lord, for it is truth and wisdom, Lord. I pray you would give the dear man of God, Lord, the wisdom and the knowledge to speak your word to us, O Lord. And may we gain from that word, Lord. We pray at this time for dear pastor, Lord, that he's fighting the good fight of health, Lord, that you would enrich his spirit, Lord, that he would keep on keeping on, Lord, through all of this, Lord. And for his family, Lord, I pray you give them rest and peace through all this. Comfort them. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do in our lives, oh, Lord God. And we thank you for each one of them that have come here today, Lord, to hear what you have to offer us. May God, the Holy Spirit, lead us, Lord, through all of this, Lord, and not of ourselves, but for the honor and glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we ask this. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's turn to 59. Service for a while, so keep praying that God will direct those of us who are on the or the charged men or the search committee, whatever you want to call us, that God will guide us and direct us in the search to find our new pastor. So we thank God for Brother Renzi being able to come and be with us each week, and trust that we'll each receive a blessing from the messages he brings. Starting next Sunday, we will have Sunday school at our normal time of 9:30, And then the morning service is going to be pushed back until 11 o'clock. And then between Sunday school and church, we're going to have a little fellowship time. What you choose to do with that is kind of up to each person. If you want to just talk among each other, that's fine. If you want to bring a little snack to have in between, that's certainly fine too. So I trust that'll be a blessing, and we'll get to know each other better and have a good time. I think those are the main announcements that I'm aware of at the moment. Do you want to give a little report on how your dad's doing?
Yeah, he's in the hospice care center at 17th and Chew, and he seems to be doing better. I think they got it right. They thought that he had that opioid toxicity, and they switched his medicines, helped his mind. So he's had 3 days in a row here where he didn't really seem to have any confusion at all. So, but it's still definitely taking its toll on him. They're not letting him get out of bed to use his legs. He wants to try to see where his leg's strength is, but they told him no. So whether he and I sneak it over the next couple of days, I don't know. He wants to, so we'll see. But that being said, he's mentally doing a lot better, and he may be able to come home this week. But we'll see about this, you know, with the snow we're getting, who knows what will happen there. So.
On that note, we're not sure about Wednesday night yet. We'll have to make that decision in the near future, and then hopefully by Channel 69, you can certainly get it that way, and then we'll try to get a hold of everybody that way so we know whether we'll have Net prayer meeting or not. We're not sure whether we'll be able to get the snow cleared away in time. So we'll let you know about that. So I think that's it as far as I know, with the exception of let's make sure that we take care of our guest speaker. We're glad that Brother Jeff Cook could be with us today. And there is a basket in the back there if you would like to give a love offering to him. And before we go to our next song, let's turn to Psalm 1. Take care of that as well. Psalm 1, we are learning verse 3 this week. And so we'll be saying verses 1 through 3 tonight. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's turn to number 89. the song.
I thought I could. is a mighty, mighty big man, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees I learn to stand, 'cause I can't.
This evening, I invite you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 9, the book of Joshua, chapter number 9. I'm looking forward to spending a little bit of time with Pastor Freeman before I leave town tomorrow. Of course, timing my journey so that hopefully I find myself, arrive in Westchester near Philadelphia well ahead of the storm. I checked the forecast this afternoon to see what they were saying now, and they're forecasting for that area. They said somewhere between 8 inches and 18 inches. Now, maybe it's just me, but that's quite a margin. I guess, you know, if you're a weatherman, unless you're in Southern California, then you can just say another sunny day, and most of the time you'll be right, most of the time. Somewhere between 8 and 18, I think to myself, that's between too much and way too much. Somewhere between 8 and 18 inches. I guess they stand a pretty good chance of getting the weather forecast right. Of course, if they get it wrong, I hope it's on the low side, not the high side. Please do know that our prayers continue with you and certainly with Brother Freeman and Mrs. Freeman during these days. Thank you for your kindness and for the sweet fellowship that I always enjoy when I come. So many of you, it's like entering into a conversation that we started quite a while back and we just never really drew to a close. We just mashed the pause button for a while to begin again when we have the opportunity, and I'm glad we had that opportunity today. Would you stand together with me, please, as we look to Joshua chapter number 9. The children of Israel had entered into the land of Canaan, and God was giving them one victory after another as they claimed the land that had been promised to them long before. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 of Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, the victories and the entrance of Israel into the land and the beginning days of their conquest, the fall of Jericho and then Ai thereafter, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily, subtly, deceptively. They did work willily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouded upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore, make ye a league with us." And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said unto them, "Who are ye, and from whence come ye?" We might interrupt the conversation and remind Joshua this would have been a good time for a prayer meeting. Verse number 9. And they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore, now make a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey." And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the 3rd day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chephirah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. Joshua said to them, "You deceived us. You said that you came on a long journey, that you lived far away, but you live so very near. You deceived us." He said, "But we promised, and we promised by the name of our God, and because we promised, we will keep our word. But you deceived us, and because you deceived us, you will live among us, but you will forever be those who bear the burden for the people and for the house of God. The Bible tells us that soon thereafter, the enemy, hearing of this league that Israel had made with the Gibeonites, that they gathered themselves together and they made their siege upon Gibeon. The Bible says in verse number 6 of chapter 10, "And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua, therefore, came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, In the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day. There was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Let's pray. Lord, we do lift our eyes to you in these days, asking for you to do among your people more than what we even know to ask. And knowing, Lord, that you take such pleasure in a people who will long for your glory, for your honor, and will give themselves for such desire. Lord, we pray that you would smile upon this dear congregation. Lord, show yourself strong among them. But I pray that you would show yourself to be so manifest, so very real, in the life of each one of them. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. As Joshua led the children of Israel into Canaan land, the Gibeonites soon launched their scheme, having heard of the victories that God had given his people, knowing that they could not stand against the children of Israel. The Bible says they, with subtlety, They clothe themselves with old garments. They brought with them moldy bread, saying, "We live such a great distance away from here that when we left, the bread was actually hot. We had just taken it out of the oven before we began our journey." And they said, "We want to make a league with you." I say again, this would have been a good moment for a prayer meeting. There's been many an occasion we've thought ourselves, "I wished I would have prayed about that." In the moments that followed, many were saying, "We should have prayed about this." The league was made, but soon they come to their cities, Gibeon being that great city. And Joshua said, "You deceived us. You lied. You and your connivory." But though you have caused great bitterness among the people, they even murmur now. They speak with scorn because of my foolishness. Joshua said, "We made a promise and we will do right. We will do right. We will do right." There are those moments when we're reminded that right is always right, even when sometimes right doesn't seem very easy. Sometimes it is the awkward path. But Joshua said, "We will do right." May I say to you, dear friends, God smiles upon the resolve of His people to do right. To do right. Though the moment is awkward, though perhaps the decision is not popular, I think of how Bob Jones Sr., he said, the words of credit to him actually can be traced back even before him. He said, "Do right." He said, "If the stars fall," he said, "do right, do right." And you'll find that God takes great pleasure in His people when they do right. The league was made, but soon the enemy gathered together and they assaulted Gibeon. And the Gibeonites said, "Help us. You're in league with us." And I can hear somebody saying, "Boy, this hole just gets deeper all the time. We made a league with them and now we're fighting for them." But the resolve had been made. We're going to do right. And my friend, who's to say? Who's to say what God might do on your behalf? Who's to say what great pleasure the Lord Himself He feels when you decide, "I am going to do right"? There have been times when I have found myself at some strange places in life, some strange moments along the journey. And geographically speaking, I have told you of the Jeffcote Homestead in South Carolina, where we get to spend just a little bit of time. I've told you about that little town called North South Carolina, and the house that is our temporary residence on occasion, that is on Westview Drive in North South Carolina, on the east end of Westview Drive, North South Carolina. It's there. You can look on a map. You'll find it. I've thought to myself sometimes, you know, you have found yourself in some peculiar places along the journey. I've perhaps told you of that place where God first opened the door to India. was in West Virginia, actually. I was preaching at a camp meeting between these two towns. They are there. You'll find them on the map. Somewhere between Odd and Looneyville, West Virginia. It was there that God opened the doors for me to go to India and in West Virginia, of all places. Sometimes I've found myself saying, you have at times in peculiar places lifted your voice. I have, and I've said, Lord, I want to do right. Lord, you know I want to. Sometimes, my friend, we long to do right, and we're not even sure exactly in the moment what the right is, but the Lord is pleased by the desire of our heart. And oh, how oftentimes He has shown that pleasure on behalf of His people. I want you to think, my friend, of how that God has so oftentimes been pleased, and what God has done when His people have done right after they have been guilty of such foolishness. What God has done, how God has smiled upon them when they chose to do right after they were guilty of such foolishness. Joshua made a league with the Gibeonites only to find out later that they had lied, they had deceived them, and now they are in such camaraderie that the enemy invading and attacking Gibeon is because of their confederacy, Israel's enemy as well. And so they step on the battlefield with this simple resolve. Perhaps we should not even be in the predicament that we face at this moment. No doubt it is because of our own foolishness that we are in such a quandary. But we are going to do right. There will be many an occasion in our lives when we find ourselves saying, Lord, I should not even be where I'm at except for the foolish decisions I have made. But being in the moment where I find myself, Lord, to the best of my ability, I am going to do right. And then the incredible takes place. The Bible says that in the midst of the battle, that Joshua, in the sight of all Israel, as they are looking on, he lifts his voice and gives command to the sun itself, stand thou still on Gibeon, and thou moon on the valley of Ajalon. And the Bible says that never was there a day like that. Before nor since then. Now, my friend, I agree totally. They found themselves in a battle because of their own foolishness, because of a decision they had hastily made. When it was a good moment of prayer, my friend, there wasn't the first whispered petition to the Lord who would have given them guidance. Yet being where they were, in such a circumstance, they resolved, we are going to do right. And there have been times when, my friends, I have messed up. Now, maybe you've never felt that experience, but I tell you, I have. Moments when I have found myself in the presence of God saying, Lord, all I know to do now is what I know to be right. May I say to you, dear friend, that long ago, on this very occasion, that God did what has never happened since then. Yes, when His people had acted foolishly, but after acting foolishly, they made this resolve, I'm going to do right. Aside from what foolish decisions you may have made in the past, beside the reason you find yourself where you are, beside the fact that maybe you would have chosen a different path if you could have years ago, but here you are, may I say to you, My friend, God so oftentimes has smiled upon his people when in their heart that burns their desire, that longing, Lord, I want to do what is right in your eyes. When we were in Bible college, and though actually I had graduated by then, I was a member of the faculty. And my wife was rarely in any of the classes I taught. Sometimes she was. And everybody knew then who the teacher's favorite was. Even then, when we had a date or time together, we, being a Bible college, we still had our chaperone. And I remember that time when she came over to the apartment with the chaperone, and she fixed me a meal. I wanted me to know that she could cook. And somehow or another, she locked the food in the self-cleaning oven. Just somehow or another, the chicken got locked in the oven. And I spent most of the time that was allotted to us trying to break into a hot oven to rescue our dinner. Now, finally, I got it on the table, and Samantha, my wife, she was just absolutely in distress. She said, "This is awful." Let me tell you, it tasted good. She said, "But this is awful." I said, "It tastes great." She said, "But this is not what it was supposed to be." And you know, I thought then to myself, if a woman can mess up this good, I better marry her before somebody else does. Last meal she's ever locked in the oven. But there have been times when I could not make any boast of messing up real good. I messed up real bad. But I know this, my friend, that there was a moment when Joshua led Israel against the Gibeonites, and because of their resolve that they would do right, that God did what he had never done before, and never has he done since then, because they decided simply, that they would do right. They would show integrity. They would honor the vow, the commitment made to Gibeon. Whatever decisions you've made in the past, whatever paths that you have taken, whatever reason you find yourself where you are in that, why don't you just resolve that you'll do right? Say, "Lord, I want to live for your glory and for your honor." Who's to say what God might do when we have been guilty of such foolishness, and when we have been granted such forgiveness? I think of David. David had messed up. We don't even need to linger upon the story. He had messed up in such a way that what he had tried to conceal would not be hidden, but manifest before the eyes of all. But David, in repentance, with a broken heart, he cried out to God. And David felt that peace that comes through forgiveness. Psalm 103, he speaks of how that our sins, he says, have been removed as far as the east is from the west. I remind you again, that's such incredible geography. As far as the east is from the west, our sins have been removed from, because you can travel so far north until crossing the brow of the earth, you find yourself headed south. But you will never travel so far east that you find yourself eventually traveling west.
He said, as far as the east is from the west, our sins have been separated from us. What marvelous peace is to be enjoyed by that child of God who knows that the Lord has forgiven him. When he's made things right, when he's decided, I want to do right. Do you remember the name of the prophet that confronted David and said, "Thou art the man"? And people think I'm a hard preacher. Into the very throne room he comes, and with the pointed bony finger of a prophet he says, "Thou art the man." Do you know what David does? Now, the first child, that was the fruit of David and Bathsheba's relationship, died. Solomon was given of the Lord. But David, he named another son after the very prophet who rebuked him, Nathan. David named a son of Bathsheba, Nathan. Now imagine that. Boy, that preacher, he really skinned me. He let me have it. In fact, I think I'm going to name my son after him. You know, I can think of some times when I remember when I was preaching at a church where a man, not long before the meetings, he had stood up in a service and pointed his finger in the service at the preacher and called the preacher a heretic. Now, I'll speak on behalf of that preacher and tell you that he's a faithful man of God who stands in the truth. And the church had to deal with this man, and I'll never forget the pastor said to me, he said, "This man knows that you're coming to the tent meeting, and he's coming one night. He said, I want you to talk with him." I said, "You don't mean to talk with him?" And this guy was known for being very volatile, please understand. He said, "Yeah, I'd like you to talk with him." I'll never forget when I confronted that man, and there was a former Marine standing behind me in the shadows. I did not know. But the guy was known for being, you know, so very volatile that this brother, who was a former Marine that was standing as backup, didn't even know he was there. But the fella, he looked at me and he said, "Well, I guess you heard what the church did to me." I said, "Yes, I did." I said, "It sounds like they've been very gracious and merciful to you." He said, "Well, I tell you," he said, "it's just a bunch of arrogant people." I said, "You know, I agree with you." I said, "There's some arrogant people in the church." I said, "But you know," I said, "the most arrogant thing I've heard of in a long time was this rascal who stood up in the middle of a church meeting and pointed his finger at the pastor, interrupting the sermon, and called him a heretic." He said, "What did you say to me?" I said, "Most arrogant thing I've heard of in a long time is that rascal who stood up in the middle of the church and interrupted the message." And he took his hand up like this and came sweeping down at me, patted me on the shoulder and said with a smile, "I like you, preacher." And I said, "Shoo." When I was pastoring in Dover, Delaware, there was a man and a woman that were attending the church, and I knew they were living in sin, and they knew that if they came that I would preach the Word of God without apology. My people did not know the circumstance, and I rejoiced the day when I was able to, without telling my people the story, to speak of them as husband and wife because they had gotten things right. But I will never forget the Sunday when he was about to leave and I was standing by the door, and as he was about to walk out, he said to me, he said, "I want you to know that every time I come here and sit under your preaching," he said, "I always feel uncomfortable. I want you to know that." And then he smiled and he said, "And the day I feel comfortable under your preaching with the way I'm living will be the last time I come to hear you preach." And I said, "Shoo, all over again." But I can't tell you of a moment when a man has said, "You know, the preacher let me have it good. I think I'm going to name a son after him." David named his son Nathan after the prophet who said, "Thou art the man." Let me tell you how that God smiles upon his people when they resolve, "I want to do right. Though I've been guilty of such foolishness, and I've been granted such forgiveness, I want to do." Who's to say what God will do? You don't have to remind me of the wickedness that took place between David and Bathsheba. It is a story that is held in memorial even to this day. But I see the tears on the cheeks of David. I hear him cry out to God. I see him in tenderness responding to the stern message of the prophet. David had many wives. You can count eight or so, but even that number may not be complete. There is inference in Scripture that there were more, but at least eight or so. How many concubines, we cannot say. But the Bible tells us of how that the genealogy of Christ, that lineage that is traced back to David in Matthew and Luke, that the lineage being traced back to David in Matthew is traced back through a son of David named Solomon. Solomon, who was the son of which of David's wives? Bathsheba. In the book of Luke, the lineage, the genealogy is traced back to David through another son, through a son named Nathan. Nathan was the prophet who said, "Thou art the man." And David named his son after that prophet, that son who found his place in the genealogy of Christ. Nathan, who was the son of which of David's many wives? Bathsheba. I tell you tonight, dear friends, that if you look at the genealogy in the book of Matthew or the book of Luke, and you follow the lineage of Christ back to David, that one is through Nathan, one is through Solomon, and both of them, the sons of Bathsheba. I tell you that God would have us never forget that when his people resolve to do right, that he smiles and he blesses. The Bible says that Joshua made a league with the Gibeonites because they resolved that they would do right. There was a day like it never happened before and never happened since then, because God's people decided, "We're going to do right." David had done so wrong, but David decided, "I'm going to get right and I'm going to do right." And when Solomon was born to Bathsheba, the name the Lord gave him was Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Because, my friend, God wants us to know that he takes great delight in forgiving. Sometimes people, they think to themselves, will God even forgive me? My friend, God takes great delight in forgiving. And when God's people lift their voice amidst the shadows and they say, Lord, I want to do right. I have stumbled and I have sinned, but Lord, I want to do right. Who's to say what God might do? Who's to say how God might bless? Let us resolve that we will do right. Would you stand together with me, please? Standing together, shall we? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I know the thought is a simple one. Do right. Of course, preacher, it's right to do right. Sure, do right. But my friend, for Joshua, it was a very awkward moment. There will be times when you'll find yourself reminded, I need to do what's right. Dear church, as a congregation, there are times when you're going to be reminded, we need to do what's right. Not seemingly the easy course, but the right course. And who's to say but what that path you thought was going to be so difficult? Who's to say that all along that path you see the power of God manifest because you chose to do right? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just allow the Lord to speak to your hearts for a few moments? And know this, dear friend, that God still takes great pleasure in a people who will do right. He said, preacher, a lot of decisions have been wrong to bring me where I am. May even be someone who would say, I have been guilty of a lot of wrong thinking, wrong deeds, wrong path. My friend, God takes great pleasure in that moment when you decide, I'm going to get right, and I'm going to do right for His pleasure. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed for a moment longer, maybe there's somebody who would say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just not sure. You'd say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. Pray for me. I'm just not sure that heaven is my home. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm the only one looking around. Who tonight would say, preacher, that's me. I lift my hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Dear Lord, I pray for your people that, Lord, as they walk with you, that, Lord, as they resolve to do what is right, acting in integrity, living for your glory, that, Lord, you'd cause them to feel your smile upon them. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother.